What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Being realistic.
As the story grows.
Welcome back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name is Trav. Not going to pull any punches. This is the second half of my talk with Eric Mendez, and there is a ton of Tourniquet music in here and a little bit of 2050 here in the beginning for you to listen to, with a project that Eric was involved with. You can find links to 2050 on YouTube and yada yada yada. If you guys didn't listen to the first half yet, you should go listen to that, so that you know what the heck this crazy dude is talking about. So, without further ado, let's get on with it, huh?
No, but no.
If anybody's hearing this with the attitude of like, oh my God, no, honestly,
everybody on Facebook
is smiling and he's totally having fun.
No, everybody in Facebook, there's people that say, forget and forgive, dude. Like some dude from Darren Kildare or something from Africa, a good friend of mine on Facebook, but one time he pissed me off. Dude, you just got to forgive, you know? And Dean Wells, one of the best guitar players I've ever heard. Dude, you got to move on. I said, dude, move on, really? You expect me to move on something like this? You know, I pretty much, somebody stuck a Vaseline in my butt. Something, you know? You know what I'm trying to get to, but it's not cool, dude. I mean, what happened? Next thing you don't talk to somebody that put their heart and soul into a piece of art, you know?
Right.
It's not cool. And it happened to Gary. That's why he was pissed off for the longest time. He got pissed off, and it pisses me off to think about it, because something happened to Gary after he got pissed off.
Do you think any of Gary's, the change with Gary's attitude towards Christ and his walk with Christ, do you think that started to come out and that became an issue?
I don't know, man. I'm close to Gary, but to me, Gary's the same person. In fact, he's a way better person now. than he was before. I consider him my brother, and I consider Victor my brother. I hate to say anything bad about Gary, dude, but maybe.
I'm not even saying anything bad. I'm just saying.
No. Like, I'm just saying. I don't want to put Gary's super sensitive when it comes to his transformation from believing to not believing and having questions about it. He's super, super sensitive about that. So I don't want to say anything, but if I was a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I would say some percentage had something to do with that.
Sure.
People being mean to him, you know, that way. A member, the one of the guys that came out with the name Tourniquet is getting kicked out. That would piss the hell out of me.
Sure.
You know? So, I'm pissed off about it, you know. And what is it now? It's no more. It's Luke and Aaron.
It's Luke is gone.
Aaron and Ted, and you know, Aaron is such a. He's been with Tourniquet for a long time, but I don't know, dude. You know, he's like, I don't know. Like, look at Megadeth, dude. They've been with so many guitar players. They're all good, but who's the other guy besides Randy Rhoads? Nobody's ever going to freaking, you know, Zach was awesome, but Randy's the man, you know?
Right.
It's not even like that with Era. It's more like, you know, it's like Alcatraz and putting Steve Vai in it, you know? It doesn't sound right. It's Yngwie Malmsteen and Alcatraz, not Steve Vai. Doesn't sound good.
You just used three different bands as examples. You're blowing my mind. You said Megadeth, Randy Rhoads, and I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, did I say Megadeth?
And then you said, and then, yeah.
What's wrong with me?
And then I said Alcatraz and Steve Vai. Okay, wait. What the hell are you talking about, dude?
Okay, Alcatraz, Yngwie was in Alcatraz.
Yngwie was in Alcatraz. Right. Yeah.
Then he quit because he's a dick, right?
Supposedly.
He plays, Steve Vai takes his place. Now it's freaking Steve Vai playing all this weird freaking out of space music with Alcatraz. Just not right.
Right.
Every time you think of Alcatraz, you're going to think Yngwie. If you think of Megadeth, you're always going to think Marty Friedman.
Marty.
Because he's the one who made the most impact. You think about Ozzy, who are you going to think of?
Randy.
And Zach.
And Zach, but Randy. Not
the Firewind guy, Gus G. Never.
Gus G.
Always going to be Zach.
And Joe Stump.
Oh, there's another dude?
Joe Stump was in there too, I think.
Oh, you know.
He was killer.
And also, yeah. Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk shit about Aaron, but.
I don't feel like you're talking shit about him. It's just,
you know, it's my.
You're passionate about it, and it was these albums with your babies, and the bummer about it is that it's 2016. We're talking, you left the band 22 years ago, and there's still no resolve on this stuff.
No,
like that sucks. That sucks, and I'm hoping
it's going to resolve. It will, believe me.
I'm hoping this podcast does something to push it in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take my truck, dude. I'll go to Ted's house. Come on out, Ted.
Where's Ted? Is he still in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember when Ted told me I'll never move out of Santa Monica, you know, because Santa Monica was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, next thing you know, I know he wanted to move there. It's beautiful out there, but pretty depressing place.
Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just wish, you know, even though it seemed like I'm talking crap and, you know, ultimately I'm doing this with Ted. I'm not trying to control the situation or manipulating anybody.
No.
But really, in the end, I want us to be friends again. And just all that crap that built up, all the weird shit that built up, I want that out and clean and no more bitterness and just think about the good stuff. Because till this day, people are thanking me for changing their freaking life, for being in, you know, for playing music. Thank you. But, you know, that pays for it, you know. I mean, really, I didn't get paid for doing psychosurgery. I don't really care to get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to put the bygones to bygones, just bury the fucking hatchet. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we can play again. I mean, Luke's gone. What the hell? We can get Aaron there. Three of us, Molly Hatchet.
I remember... 1993, I started dating my now wife,
mm-hmm.
and sitting in the car, just saying, mm-hmm. what type of music are you into? And I was like, I reached over, I pushed the button on the cassette deck,
ooh.
And it was Theocracy on Trial.
Nice.
And she was like, what the
fuck? That was all Gary.
Yeah.
That's all Gary right there. I did the leads on that one, but that's a Gary song. Gary wrote that song. A lot of Gary and Guy wrote a lot of good songs together.
Yeah, they did.
And there was a little competition going between the songwritings. You know, whoever writes a song gets the money. You know, mm-hmm. gets more money. So, I don't know. There's something got to do with that too, how mm-hmm. the songs were written. But Gary and I wrote a couple of songs just recently, maybe less than 10 years ago. It's called Darfur. We wrote it. I wrote the first part of it that played lead on top of it. And then I wrote an all instrumental song with people jumping off the San Francisco Bridge. called 2050 in Remission. I wrote that because a lot of my friends were going through cancer. Friends, kids, wives, and everybody's going through cancer. Like, man, this is like a biggest bummer, you know?
Right.
And it's I wrote it, you know?
Well, tell me more about 2050.
2050 came about when I finally said, man, I miss Victor a lot.
Right.
I freaking miss Victor, you know, because me and Victor were super tight. And at the end, there was a little bit bitterness against me, and I was bitter against them because I quit. You know, there's always that. Mm-hmm. When you quit a band, it's always kind of a weird thing. Like, he left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they get somebody else, you know. Then Eric's done, you know. And it was actually me and Gary who was, like, pissed off sort of at each other. And I let time went by, and I looked at one of the thank you, and Gary thanked me. Really cool thank you on one of the albums. And I decided to reach out back to him, you know, and say, sorry, dude. I'm sorry for being a dick.
Uh-huh.
We were 26 years old. We thought we were all these good musicians, you know. And, you know, I had a bad attitude as well. Really bad attitude. So, you know, everybody wanted to be Tourniquet, like, equally, you know.
Right.
Not just Ted. No leaders. I didn't believe in that crap.
Right.
You know, we were... Every one of us had a strong personality. Nobody was kissing ass to anybody.
Right.
Including me. I mean, you can tell how I talk. I'm not going to kiss ass. You know, but that's what made us a good band.
Right.
We were all strong-willed personalities. And every time you get bands with strong personalities, you get the best musicians there is, you know. You
mm-hmm.
get bands like, oh, hi, dude. How you doing today? Go on, let's play some music. Dude, the music's going to suck ass. Mm-hmm. You know? Rarely it's going to be good. You know, so we were strong. We had butt heads, but at the same time, we were tight on stage and on the record.
Right.
But I think, you know, we're old enough now to where we don't have to be that immature, you know,
right.
Where we can at least play the songs we wrote and or Ted wrote and do some shows. Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool thing. Everybody wants it to happen. People from all over the world want it to happen. So
I want it to happen.
Yeah, me too.
I think the old school fans of this show would want that to happen. I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to see the Tourniquet yeah. line up. And now that it's just down to Ted and Aaron, why couldn't Aaron be a part of it too?
That's what I'm saying. Molly Hatchet.
Yeah, man. Hop
we
in
could
there.
Be Ted. Aaron, Gary, me, and Aaron playing guitar. That would be freaking crazy.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and Victor
Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden. When Adrian Smith left, and they brought on Yannick Gehrs.
Yeah, and it's and all about
now,
ego.
Now I mean, they're all back together, and Yannick Gehrs, and he just
we can all like touch
stage.
Aaron and like impart to him the power in front of everybody. He can be like officially Tourniquet. We could even add Luke for crying out loud, you know. There's a band called Opeth, and they're a freaking good band. Sometimes the old stuff they do sounds like Tourniquet. I'm going, what happened? Maybe they listen to Tourniquet, but I doubt it.
They have a new album called Sorceress coming out in
really?
September or October. Mm-hmm.
My favorite band,
Opeth.
Oh yeah,
good choice.
Sick. They play Paul Reed Smith's. That's guitars ever.
Are you being paid every time you mention Paul Reed Smith?
No, it's just a bash, dude. I mean, look at this. Let me show you.
I feel like you get money every time you mention. Okay, he's gone. It's the third time.
There's the best. That's all shit right here.
Paul Reed Smith.
But when I was in Tourniquet, I played a Fender. 62 Fender Strat that played like butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got rid of it.
Why?
Low on dough.
Got it.
You know, you go through that. Nobody, believe it or not, nobody wanted to buy it. I go, dude, come on, just buy my Fender. It's a 62. It's $1,000. I don't know, man. I'm not interested. Now guess how much it's worth.
I don't know.
It's worth at least $10,000.
What'd you get for it?
I got $1,000. Plus another Fender that I, another $1,000 Fender.
Hmm.
I miss that guitar. That's why I can't play. This is the only guitars that play like it. So that's so why I'm like,
I've been asked recently to get more into the tech stuff, and I don't know guitars. I play drums. So who are you playing with now? What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself right now? And what
I tried to trade all my effects to get a computer so I can start writing again.
Okay.
And continue the stuff, the 2050 stuff that I wrote, but my own stuff, and have Victor and Gary playing it. Of course, we're going to sneak them in there.
Nice.
Always, you know, because that's what people want. They want as close tourniquet as possible.
Sure.
So that's what I'm going to do for everybody. If that doesn't want to do it, I'm going to freaking do it.
Is 2050 your band?
No, that was Victor and Gary and my name and my friend Al Velasquez, who I grew up playing drums, our names together in a number form. I don't know. We couldn't figure out a name for the band, so 2050 came up.
Oh, okay.
So if you know, with the M, it becomes 2050, you know, in numeric. I don't know how Victor did this. Victor came up with this.
Okay, all right.
But I have more songs at that time. I started writing. I started getting all the freaking music.
Right.
I was writing songs that were 12 minutes long, and they all sounded like tourniquet.
Huh.
I was like tripping out, dude.
Is there any 2050 stuff that I can get my hands on?
Yeah, just go on YouTube, 2050 Darfur, and that's on, Gary put that on.
Okay.
And then Angel did a video for me. It was 2050 in remission. That's what you got to Google, 2015 Remission. That's a song I wrote all on my own, and that song's going to remind you of Tourniquet. Okay. And so Starpour, because it's pretty much Tourniquet. That's why. Without right. Ted. You know, Ted was just playing the drums, and he wrote some of the music, but it was kind of Tourniquet without the heavy drums, you know, without the busy drums. My friend Al Velasquez, one of the best drum teachers, you know, he that's what he does for a living.
Okay.
You know, his best friend's Terry Bozio.
Huh.
You know, not a bad guy. I grew up playing, and we were in the garage band when we were kids. But you can find that. I had more songs, you know, but it kind of like blew up. It didn't happen, but I'm just going to keep on writing, and God permits that I get some more music in my head that he wants to give me. And I'll be able to write some instrumentals, not a lot of vocals this time. And maybe I'll have guys singing it little at a time.
Is there anybody Gary doing vocals for 2050?
It was Gary. It sounded Gary's like Tourniquet. Okay. Darfur, he did. He did the song, sang the song Darfur. And I don't know if there's any way you can even put it into your podcast.
There is. I know how to
do it. You just add Darfur at the end of it, and it's badass, dude.
I will.
It's going to remind you of Pathogenic because I ripped off Pathogenic, kind of. But I put leads on it. It's sort of Pathogenic-ish, you know.
But just because you covered your mouth with your hand, everybody on the listening to the podcast could still hear you, dude. You know that?
You can get paid for psychosurgery. I can do whatever.
Sweet. You know? What about other bands? Have you, since Tourniquet in 1994, have you done anything other than 2015?
I joined a bar band, dude. We opened for Morrissey at the time. That's pretty damn cool.
That's cool.
And Morris Day was up on the catwalk while we were playing, because we actually did Morris Day songs too. It was a disco band. We were playing at a Ventura Theater, you know, where I used to live in Ventura.
Right.
And Morris Day comes out. Some dude sees him. Who are these guys? They're freaking good. They're really like, you know, I got to shut my door. I can't listen to him. I can't concentrate, you know. I don't know if he talks that way, but
yeah,
well, just being black, it's like as black as he get. Well, but he shut the door, and we were playing like, you know, Roller Coaster, disco songs, dude. It was really, but we were a bad band. I made money on that band.
Good.
And then just recently, I Jason, you know Jason Campbell.
Jason who?
Campbell. From Canada, Vancouver.
No.
He did something with Mortification. I think he wrote some songs. I don't know exactly the big story on it, but he came down. He's a pretty good songwriter. He came down and
Jason Campbell?
Yeah, that's his name. You'll see him on Facebook. It's called Undercurrents. It's a project that he did. He put two songs, but I played like on seven songs, and he gave me a chance to really rip on it, you know?
Right.
To really shred on it, and I had a lot of shredding that I felt that even better than I did on Tourniquet. On that album, I was just given the whole week, dude, to shred. Mm-hmm. I was so happy. You know, I could harmonize on myself, going as fast as I can, you know? You know, but I did that. It's called The Undercurrents or Undercurrent. Jason Campbell. You'll find him on my friends list on Facebook.
Okay.
You can ask him. You can interview him, dude.
Okay. I'll take it.
You know.
What about Echo Hollow?
Oh. I don't know about those guys. No, that's Gary. That's Gary's and Guy's thing. I was not involved in that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was in, you know, was that The Last Dance or there was another one that Gary did, you know, Gary's always playing music.
I want to talk to
always Gary. Recording.
I want to talk to Gary.
Have you seen all the interviews Gary has done? No. Steve Vai. He's interviewing the biggest guitar players ever.
It's 'cause he works for Roland now, right?
No more. He doesn't work for Roland. He's moving towards you. Works for a new company, so he moved. Mm. A pickup company. He says it's the best pickups, you know.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, he was with Roland, and that did him really well.
Good.
But yeah, I'm going to miss Gary. You know, Gary's about 2 hours away from here. I can get on the freeway and go to his house, but now I feel bad because I didn't take advantage of that.
Right.
You know, but I've been going through a lot of hell for the last 2 years. I couldn't really. I even stopped playing guitar for a while.
Mm.
You know, people, everybody's going to go through this in their life,
mm-hmm.
you know, to where nonstop uphill. And I remember this guy, Tommy, Corey, and Jason from Canada. In fact, Corey needs a heart transplant right now. Feel bad, you know, but he builds guitars. He told me everything is peaks and valleys in life, you know. Right now, you're going trying to get up to the peak. And when you reach the peak, you're going to be so happy when you get up there, but then you're going to have to come down again.
Mm-hmm.
Then try to get up again. You know, you're always going to have that. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody, I'm sure you've gone through your life and the bad stuff in life, you know.
And roller coaster.
Yeah. How do you play that song?
I love that song, actually. I think the Chili Peppers knocked that one out of the park, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, we did that. I think when we did that song, I didn't even hear the Chili Peppers version.
Hmm.
But I was heavily into the Chili Peppers, so like you could almost hear Chili Peppers, but I didn't.
You did it without even knowing they did it.
Yeah, but we had horns on ours. We had the horns that went on. We had the band was full of guitar teeth. I mean, music teachers. That's how good we were.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And they were all teachers.
What was the name of your bar band?
The Barflies.
The Barflies. Again, you did the hand thing. People can still hear you. You're talking into a mic, dude.
The girl in the room can hear me. She didn't like it.
The Barflies.
Yeah. Is your girl up yet? I want to meet her.
She's up. She doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to come say hi?
No. She's an introvert. Hey, you want to come say hi? No, she's hiding.
No?
No.
Can she say hi or at least hear her?
Hold on.
And he's leaving again. This is insane.
Angel.
I have no control over this. He just throws his headphones off and says, I'm leaving. Hang on. And here I am.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Right there. Okay. They heard you.
Okay.
They heard you.
Yeah, she's not all made up. You know how it is.
Oh, man, that's okay. Tell her I don't have makeup on either. It's okay.
Yeah, we don't have makeup on either. Nah, she's cool. She owns those too.
Well, tell her thanks for letting me have you for as long as I had you.
Oh, no problem.
Let me ask you a couple more things. Tell me about the experience of recording the live album with Les Carlson.
Oh, okay. First of all, I didn't like it. That whole idea. Dude,
okay.
Les Carlson in Tourniquet. What the hell? And then he had to sing the songs that way. But no, Les is the coolest guy. You know, I mean, it was awesome playing the Messiah. You know, we got all Metallica and stuff.
Sure,
doing a cover song. But then he sang Phantom Limb.
Dude, I'm glad you brought that up. When he goes Phantom Limb, the way that he says it was always was really creepy. Ugh. It always made me feel dirty.
Yeah, I know.
It always made me feel dirty.
Oh, no. No, shower time.
Exactly. It almost made me feel like some...
You cannot blame him for singing like that.
Yeah.
That's I mean, that's blood good.
That's blood good.
Phantom Limb. This is all Ted's ideas. Why Les Carlson? I love Les. I love blood good. I love Blood Good, but I would not have him sing Tourniquet songs. We'd do the Messiah. That's fine. Why did we have to pick him to do all the songs? Because it was easy. It was Ted's ideas and Ted is Hoagie. Ted needed me. Ted needed Victor. Ted needed me in that place.
You just plugged in. What were your favorite Tourniquet songs to play? Like some of your favorite solos?
I like playing Pathogenic, the rhythms on there, the beginning. I can't play it right now.
I didn't ask you to play it. I'm just wondering what your favorites
were. But that one, I like Broken Chromosomes. That really was fun. Of course, you know, all of them. A Dog's Breakfast was a lot of fun.
I love A Dog's Breakfast.
Viento, the instrumental, Whitewash Tomb.
Yeah.
The instrumental, those were all just like, the singer left the stage, you know. And it was all about the music.
Nice.
So I really like that a lot. I hated Spineless Dude. Ugh. Because it was so hard. It was awkward. You know, I was like, okay, I'm into Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know. And I like rap. Where are you going? He's going to play it.
Go ahead. Play it.
Oh, I can't play it. I'm like totally sloppy nowadays.
Ugh, you're sloppy and old.
Yeah, no, I haven't practiced. I haven't been practicing.
All right, let's play a game. Let's play a game.
Shall we play a game?
All right, ready? I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind as I read song titles.
All right.
Psychosurgery.
Oh, I love that song.
Why?
That's awesome. I ripped off Paul Gilbert and a Razor X on that song.
Nice Razor X. Nice reference.
Listen to my solo on that. Ripped off. I even told Bruce. I took it to Bruce where he played, you know, he's my guitar teacher. He's from Razor X. I said, hey, dude, listen, I've ripped you off. You know, like a... Even though... Oh, it's out of tune, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, okay. That's what comes in mind, and it comes in mind as Ted songwriting. it's an insane song. And Gary's vocals, insane.
A dog's breakfast.
Death Angel. That's what comes to mind at first when I first heard that song. I love that song. It's fun to play.
I always thought when I hear Dog's Breakfast, I always think of Disposable Heroes from Metallica.
I think of Slayer. I think of Death Angel. And I think of Gary, you know, just coming up with this, like, songs that everybody likes. And Guy wrote the lyrics.
Viento Borrascoso, devastating wind.
Think about John Bonham, Moby Dick, Dick.
Oh, right on, okay.
Well, you know, it becomes a drum solo, right?
I just think of Victor. I think of Victor from the VHS, where she says, Where Ted says "Viento Borrascoso" and Victor goes, "Oh, see."
Well, you know, that's all about the Ted thing, the devastating wind. Yeah. He loves hurricanes.
Yeah, he's so into, like, butterflies and hurricanes.
So that's got to get into the tourniquet, you know. Right. Everything he loves is going to be part of tourniquet.
Sure, the coffee and overpriced watches. I'm sorry. Next.
Watches.
Yeah.
What a thought.
Vitals fading.
Ooh, I did the I can't play. But I did the rhythm to that. That was fun. I love that. I shone. Young child drowning in a sea of pain. Body and pressure with the melody, rodeous strain. This footsteps approach, but they're not for him. Anticipation of visitors' wings. Spirits due. Spineless. I like the beginning. I think the beginning.
Yeah.
First it was Gary Band, I just, with the phaser stuff. And then I come in playing my chunky shit.
Yeah.
I just made it all chunky and all.
Nice.
I love that, but the rap part is cool. I really like that, playing on the guitar. And then the middle part, I don't like the fast part. You know, it's kind of like really fast and weird sounding with guys singing. You know, it sounds like that.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the Black Sabbath part,
take a look at yourself as much as you want. That part?
Yeah, it's like punk rock wannabe, trash in the middle.
My favorite part of that song is the I love that part.
Yeah. But then the last part is when it slows down. And then Gary starts playing leads. That is like the acid of all acids. All the tourniquet stuff's about acidic type music, and that's
right.
As acid as you can get.
Dysfunctional Domicile.
Which one's that one?
First song on the second side of the record.
Oh, the Pantera song.
Oh, okay. All right.
That song, we ended up playing over in Texas. We ended up playing in what's his name's bar, the drummer for Pantera in Texas.
Vinny Paul.
Yeah, we played in his bar, I met Dimebag that day. That's the dog talking. I gave. He looked at my guitar, dude. Dimebag, and he was playing my guitar. I was like, "It's God." I'm thinking in my head, no, it's like, oh no, yeah, I'm in his bar. I'm gonna have to play that song tonight. You know, I was thinking of that that song that Gary wrote, Dysfunctional Domicile, you know? And I was like, oh my God, you know, he's going to know we ripped him off. But no, I don't think Gary ripped him off. It just sounded like Pantera, you know? But no, after he played the solo, after the show, we all look out. The place was destroyed. Vinny Paul destroyed it when he heard Ted play. True freaking story, dude.
What do you mean he destroyed it?
Well, he was first making fun of us. We were Christian band.
Yeah.
Then we played. Then he heard our music. Then he saw Ted play.
Right.
Ted's a freaking good drummer.
Yes, he is.
The guy fucked up the place. He couldn't handle Ted. He left. The place was a disaster. The pool was done. The pool table area. Like, what happened? I didn't see it because I was like Dimebag.
Right.
I was scared to death. Dimebag's right there. All I did was like this all night. I don't want to make a mistake, you know?
Right. Vinny wrecked his own bar because he was blown away by Ted.
Yep. And he was gone, dude. That's what you get for messing with one of God's best thrash bands. Talking shit. That's what you get. Now you're going to have to buy a new pool table.
Broken Chromosomes.
Oh, I love that song. Jumping Up and Down. Yes. Yeah. Van Halen.
Okay. All right.
Oh, the last wait. The last part of that song, I wish I was in tune. But the last part,
I'm in tune.
I just put the strings in for you guys. So, you know, in case somebody wants to hear, but it's like stretching. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the last part of that song, that's a really good part.
Yeah.
And guys start singing that, the hope in the verses in that song.
Yeah,
pretty damn bitch. And the middle song, the middle part of the song, when he's sung, "You walked on me."
Yeah,
"You stepped on me." Yeah. You're an asshole.
And then, but I'll get up.
Yeah,
then he get up.
And then where does he get this? Where the hell did that come from?
He says, "Men failed me." But the Son of God saved. Oh,
But I know it's so weird, but goosebumps happen. Listen to it.
Stereotaxic atrocities.
I hate it.
Why?
Just listen to Steppenwolf. You know,
Steppenwolf.
You know that song?
Yeah.
I don't know the highway.
You just don't like the stomp 4/4 of it.
Okay.
Officium Defunctorum, which by the way, it was like my first goth song. I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
Officium, the lead song. I like talking about what I did because that's how I felt it. But that song is really well written, and at the end, it's not that one that goes chug chug. Then you hear a monkey in the background.
You hear what I think is supposed to be a man crying, but it's like the most uncomfortable sobbing.
Yeah, and then, that's an awesome song. I think I got to play lead in the back of that.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Burn it? No. How much did you pay for that?
Like 40 bucks for Pathogenic.
For just one album?
No, it's a double. It's a double.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there acoustic versions or something?
No. No, and...
I'm just kidding.
There's something about this album that I absolutely hate, and I'm afraid to get into it with you.
Okay, I won't pressure you.
Nah, screw it. Yeah. Apparently, you get all the way to the Skeezicks dilemma, and there's still room. Like Skeezicks dilemma was the only song on the fourth side of the vinyl, so he put Skeezicks dilemma part two to fill it out. It's terrible. The song sucks, and it's not even. It's Luke. Like it's not.
Oh, it's not even part of the album.
Huh? No, it's pathogenic. It's not even pathogenic. It came like two albums or three albums later or something.
It's probably his way of, hey, let's do something and maybe it'll sell more.
Why wouldn't you put a demo of Phantom Limb on or something?
Something like that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, impending embolism and pathogenic ocular dissonance.
Yeah.
We're still doing the what are your thoughts game.
I Which one's impending?
It's the beginning of the album.
Oh, that's sick.
It's just a guitar.
That's Ted.
Yeah, okay.
I was watching him record that thing. It was like something like it looked like this. It was super easy, but the concept, and then he went to, it was weird. It's like, crazy son of a bitch. We changed that live. Like when I played it, it was like more like a lead guitar player would play it because Ted played all that stuff in the album.
Okay.
You know, and then he wanted to play all that. So because it's so classical, I would too, you know, but come on, dude, I'm the guitar player.
Right, exactly.
But he just thought I didn't have the timing of it. But when you hear it live, I still playing it.
Right.
You know, but no, it's a really good song. Gary's vocals on that is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And then the sick Black Sabbath part with Victor's fuzz bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Yep.
Yeah, who else does that?
And then Ted goes, doo, 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 doo,
doo, doo, doo, doo. Yeah.
That is.
And what do they say? Is there like lyrics to that? On the last part there, it's weird. Yeah, it's just, they say something about 20 and 50. Weird. Which is the name of our band? But we caught it later.
Phantom Limb.
Oh, Phantom Limb. The beginning to that thing was a joke.
What a herky jerky weird, what a weird ass song.
Yeah, it is. That's a Ted weirdness song. But the beginning of that was like, it was not supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to, I tried to do something cool, you know? And I was just messing around.
I didn't mean it as a joke. I meant it as like, it's just such a weird.
No. Yeah, I know. It is, but I'm just trying to, what happened in the studio. When I was just jacking off, I was just messing around like with the wah-wah pedal. No, I'm not jacking off.
You almost said jacking off. That's why I was laughing.
Jacking around. Yeah, I know. Right. Pervert, man.
You were jacking off the studio, dude. I'm just saying.
Did I? I'd just get naked on stage. No. Naked on the bus. but no. When we
dirty old man. Dirty old Filipino.
Oh, that's the worst. but anyways, that part right there, I had the wah-wah pedals. Our wah-wah pedals were all like modified. It sound better than most wahs. Same as Zach Wild's wah and Axel Guns N' Roses dude, the guy with the hat.
Slash.
Yeah, we had the same wah, just like super heavy wah. But I was just messing around. Sound like Snoopy. And they kept it. They were laughing in the background. Just keep it. It's like, oh, keep it. Oh. And next thing you know, it's like on the album. I'm trying to play it live. You know? Dangerous to flip up the spinal cord.
Ruminating virulence.
Badass song, dude. The beginning of that. Somebody jumps off.
Yeah.
That's, you know, jumps in the pool. Is the water is like total. Yeah, he cuts his spine.
Dude,
But then I wish we played that song live. That would have killed everybody.
You never played that song live.
But we wanted to just recently. We wanted to do a Pathogenic from start to finish.
Oh man, I would die. If you ever pull that off and it's in California, I probably can't make it. But you have to also go far enough to get a film crew.
Well, yeah, if we would do something like that, it'd be like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, or whatever. You know, some cool cities that.
Philly.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Go Flyers.
Do Philly. Yeah, that's it. Go Flyers. Do Philly. I'll show up.
Yeah.
I'll put you guys up. If you guys play between New York and Philly, you can sleep at my house.
You like the Flyers?
Yeah, been a Flyers fan since I was a little kid.
You like Lindros?
No.
Oh, you didn't like Lindros?
I didn't like Lindros because his mother got involved in everything. I didn't like that.
Really?
I heard about Bonnie Lindros more than I heard about Eric. It was driving us crazy. Oh, yeah. It was gross.
They kick the Kings all the time's ass, so.
Spectrophobic dementia.
Which was that one?
Spectrophobic dementia. I don't remember. I would have to hear it.
Wait.
Spectrophobic.
Wow. Who wrote that song?
Hold on, I'll look it up.
Spectrophobic.
Words and music by Gary Lanier. I feel a piece of my life escapes me with every rising of the sun. That one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know how lame it is to wonder who you are.
Oh, that's when Guy and Gary starts yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool song.
Losing touch with everything and everyone so far. Here alone inside.
Yeah.
Comfort me before I die, and I can only be restored by your hand. Lead Mendez.
Oh, yeah. That's
the part I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the wrong song before.
I love that. But at the middle of that, so all you hear is drums.
I love that part. Dude, that part where Ted goes, you guys do that. I love that part. It sounds backwards and trippy.
Well, no, I ripped off Alan Holdsworth at that part.
If you're gonna rip somebody off, dude, Alan Holdsworth.
So check it. I can still play. It's one of my favorite leads. Yeah. You know, something like that. I'll just off.
Love it.
But that was one of my favorite leads, and it was just Ted and me.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this song. Gelatinous Turbicles of Purulent Ossification.
Dude, I played that whole thing.
I love that song.
That little beat, I ripped that song off, just so you know.
From?
I wrote my own song from that song.
Oh, you ripped it off. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have, and it's like way longer than that song. And you know, the part is not an easy part to play.
No, it is not.
Ted wrote that part, and the reaches are weird. You know, you kind of have to reach like this, and it was this, and you just have to chunk on it really hard. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And, It was not, you know, we weren't like Metallica. We weren't like that. We were more like easier riffs than Metallica, but a lot more complicated notations.
Technical. You guys were notey and technical.
Yeah. We weren't like about the how fast we could make it two notes sound like, you know, but we were like totally technical when it came to the notes. We even did the weirdest harmonies, you know.
This next song is killer. It's one of my favorite Tourniquet songs ever.
Mm.
Incommensurate.
Oh, guess who wrote that one?
I'm going to go with Victor.
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that.
Victor Basie is one of my favorite ones because of the... it gets so screwed up. And it starts off... It starts off all nice and fast and straightforward and 4-4.
But then there's that...
But then there's that, it's so herky jerky.
Yeah, and then you hear all the bass, right?
I love it. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a cool song. And Victor does all the vocals. I think Gary does some of it, but he does, you know, Victor does some crazy punk rock vocals on that.
Right on. That's awesome. Yeah, tell him I said so, and tell him I want him on the show.
Yeah, that's one of the hard things. I wish he was here now.
Exoskeletons.
Pretty cool song.
Yeah?
Gary song, yeah?
That's a Gary song.
Everybody, like... You'll notice me saying Gary song, Ted songs, because it's how we all said it.
Yeah. Waiting in fear. My stepfather's prey. Mother's mistake. Now I'm blackmailed. Not to say. The Odyssey on trial.
It's another one of Gary's, right?
Written words by Guy, music by Guy and Gary.
Yep. The weirdest part of those songs are Gary songs and Guy songs. You know, only certain songs we got to play live because Ted was the one, you know, wanting to do the set list. And of course, his songs are going to be played, you know.
Like that.
I must perform a test to prove that faith in God is contingent on being blessed.
Descent into the Maelstrom.
Ted, there's a story on that one where Ted wanted to do a classical, like that one album he did, playing along with the classical. He didn't. He wasn't given permission, so he had the drums already, and he put music on top of that.
Got it. Yeah, that's what he wrote in the notes.
Pretty ingenious, if you ask me.
In Hakor?
That's a Gary's.
Yep.
Any thoughts?
No.
No? In Moving on.
Well, like I said, we never got to play it live, or else it'd be one of my favorites, too. You know what? I wish we would have been able to play all that songs. You know? Damn it. Damn it the hell.
All right, man. Last one. Skeezix Dilemma.
I love that song, dude. I'm in love with that song. I just like Ted plays the acoustic part on that.
Uh-huh.
Blows me away. But then that's when I get to do my death metal vocals.
You get to do vocals?
Yeah, the first vocals you heard me.
That was you on vocals in the beginning of that song?
And in the middle.
No way!
Me and Victor. Victor's got the grump. And I'm the more like the Roger Martinez vocals.
Right.
How about that?
Well, there was a trip through both albums that you were a part of. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That was
and,
fun.
And also on the EP, if you still have that one.
The live one? Mm-hmm. I have the CD over there.
That's all us playing. That should be how we sound live. We were tighter than the album, I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, just raw and just like more aggressive, you know? And with more feel, definitely.
And with Les Carlson.
With Les Carlson. Oh. My favorite track on that is The Tempter. I like The Messiah, Whitewash Tomb.
Killer.
It's kind of weird how Les Carlson would sing, what is that? That, you know, Ark of Suffering.
Yeah.
Do you think, bombing that? Like, what the hell? Stop it. I want to take a shower again.
Means to kill just for sport. What was a video of Ark of Suffering? Was that weird that you were like...
That wasn't me.
Milli
Vanilli.
That wasn't you.
Let's see if I can play it. I can't even play it. I haven't played it in so long, but it's Milli Vanilli, dude. Can I do a good job?
Pretending it's Milli Vanilli. The video wasn't you.
No, the music wasn't me, but that was me on the video trying to emulate what he's doing.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, but I knew how to play parts of the solo, you know? So, and then I just made it all, like, rad looking, like, wow.
Yeah, I never bought it.
Bought into it.
I never bought it. I never bought it because you do the reach over the neck thing.
Oh, I did?
There was a couple parts of the video where you reached over the neck this way, and I was just like, bullshit, that's not how you play it.
No, there was a lot of weirdness I did right there, but like, it just, to me, that's what he would have, that's what kind of like it sounds like. Well, I'm just going, we're on, you know, we're like,
it was rad.
Like,
it was insane. Cause the guy who was the dude who blew fire for you guys, Divino or whatever.
Divino. Yeah. It was weird because Ted wanted him to be part of the band, like a fire breathing magician. Cause Ted's into magic too. If you remember one of the album, Ted's dressed like a magician. What the hell is that all about?
I don't know.
Every interest that he has to be part of Tourniquet. So Davino is sort of like a magician type guy.
Yeah, and he was like a stage performer for your shows.
Yeah.
Fire and
so, but it was awkward live. Like, there's this guy all weird, you know, Puerto Rican guy all weird and like shaking around and takes a spine off your back. And to me, it was just like, dude, we don't need this crap. You know, it's awesome on the video, but yeah, that's Divino. Right? Divino's a cool guy, but he does all that flames coming through your eye, bucket head with flames on their eyes. If I was him, I'd go into Buckethead stage, dude, and chase Buckethead around.
Right on. He had like in the video, he had like this metal cage around his face.
Oh, that was pretty crazy.
And he was like grabbing it and trying to like pull it off or something.
Yeah, like he was an animal.
Yeah, it looked like, it always reminded me of, I always used to laugh because I knew a kid who wore headgear at night.
Yeah.
Where he had braces.
Oh, like the braces?
And he had to wear the headgear. And I was like, he's always grabbing it. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I don't see that anymore.
The headgear thing? They don't do headgear anymore.
Yeah, one of my friends had a headgear. Dude, what's up with that? You look like an astronaut.
Those are the old days, man. Now they do like spacers across the roof of their mouth and they spread their teeth out.
Wow.
My kids have had braces two different times, but they're only going to have them on for like 9 months at a time. Instead of when I had braces, I had them on for like 4.5 years.
I had one for 2 years, dude.
Yeah.
It sucked ass. It's been like two.
Suck ass. Okay. Let's get into this. What do you, what, right now you're a painter, right? You're a house painter.
Yes. Well, no, I'm quitting. I'm getting out of that. It's been a while since I really painted.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Well, I'm starting. I was offered a spot over at Lemon Grove in San Diego at Mr. Joey's Music to start teaching, and I'm like, wow, heck yeah, I want to teach, play guitar again. I feel like, you know, I guess I can have a feeling that's where God's taking me to, because every freaking paint job. I did pest control, dude. Like,
I know. I can't wait to get into that. That's what I currently do now.
But yeah, they just asked me out of the blue, do you want to teach? And they're making sure I come in. And I got a few students now. And so it kind of gave me the inspiration because I taught when I was younger. You know, I want to teach and now I want to go gung ho on it. Just like take over San Diego.
Nice. You're a guitar. So technically on paper, you're a guitar teacher right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's going to make me better again.
Yeah, maybe you'll remember your Tourniquet songs.
I remember. I just can't kind of like, I'm just rough. I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it in a week, dude.
I know. Call me back in a week and just start, don't even say hi. Just start ripping solos and I'll text back if I could guess which song it is.
I'll just call and just like, here, dude. You know? I think the East Coast is better when it comes to trade work.
I don't know. Never worked on the West Coast before. I've only ever visited you guys, and I know y'all have the best wine. I'll give you that.
Well, we got the best beer too.
Your wine's better than ours, dude. You don't have the best beer. I'll put Philly up against you guys anytime.
What's the name?
I'll put Philly. All the outer regions of Philadelphia with our craft breweries and everything.
So you guys are pretty heavily into beer, because I told that to somebody else that was from San Francisco. And I said, yeah, San Diego's the micro beer capital of America.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's what they told me. I said, what?
I'll put Philly on that anytime. I'll give you guys wine. I think we come up with the best wine we possibly can on the East Coast. We take that out to the West Coast, and you guys are like,
it's because of the climate and
exactly, because you guys are built for growing grapes. We have like, we're like knocking snow off of our grapes. We can't do that, dude. You can't grow grapes like that on here.
Hey, what kind of tattoos you got?
Oh, you name it, I got it. I got both sleeves all done up.
Wow. Well, let me see.
What do you want to see?
That one, the colored stuff. Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I got
a. Oh, you're tough, dude.
It's all
That's some good artwork there.
Thank you. I paid for it.
Can I see mine?
Yes. Let me see. What do you got?
Mother of Jesus.
So when I like that.
So when I get to heaven. Oh, well, you've been kind of messed up talking shit about Ted. You got your mighty mom on your thing. So, okay, come on in.
Okay.
And that's good. You know what? I got her right here as well. Okay, okay. Come on in, dude.
You better load up with all the Jesus tattoos if you're going to talk shit.
I got all this. Wait, let me show you. I got this.
Who's that?
The one that you heard earlier.
That's her? That's Angel?
Yeah. Hey.
So let me see again, because since she's not going to come on camera, I got to see her.
This was when she was 16.
Let me see.
16 years old. You know, she's from Hawaii. She's got all the plumerias. Mary, let me see. My dog that passed away. Can you see this?
Go ahead.
That's my doggy.
Okay, I see it.
And then, I just get like realism type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know that who has the crucifixion thing in the on his leg is Larry. And samurai. Yeah? My samurai.
Oh, very cool. I like that.
With blood.
I like samurai. I like that kind of Asian samurai stuff. It's not for me, but I really enjoy looking at it.
Like looking at other people? Yeah. Mine is all like icons and kind of Mexican.
Yeah, you have a lot of faces. You have a lot of portraits and stuff.
I have one on my back, but I'm too fat to show it to you right now, but one I'm working on. Okay. It's Jesus. So if he doesn't let me in with this, I'm going, dude, you got my back.
It's him. I'm kidding.
So I know, but he's got the most important part, the back.
You're more of a portrait guy. I'm more of a traditional. I like the Sailor Jerry kind
of
stuff.
Oh, I like that too. That's kind of like cool. There's a lot of that here in San Diego.
Yeah,
a lot of sailors and Jerry.
Very good. Very cool. What else do we need, man? What else we got to talk about? We talked about a lot. We've been on the phone for a long time.
Hey, you know, I felt good today.
Good.
I felt good today. I was like thinking about all this. You know, right now everything's starting to get work out for me. So.
Good.
You know, sometimes the anxiety happens when everything calms down. When you finally realize you're out of the storm and you're like, what the hell is it? It's like, you know, the soldiers going to Iraq and and they come home with post-traumatic syndrome, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've never had to go think about even seeing a shrink before. Now I need psycho surgery.
I see what you did.
That's corny. Must be late over there, dude. Because it's getting dark over here.
Going on 10 o'clock. I know the sun just moved right in back here.
Yeah, yeah. I hope Ted comes in. If you can talk to Ted, you know, I don't mean anything by all this. I mean, I'm a little pissed off right now. And I'm the type of person when I'm pissed off, I will never stop. I'm an Aries, dude. I don't know if you believe in. But I don't believe in all that. But I'm an Aries.
Okay.
I'm hard-headed.
You're hard-headed Aries.
Yeah, I want to stop until he becomes my friend again. Dude, I want you to be my fucking friend. Or else I'll box you.
I want you back or I'll fight you.
Exactly. I'm going to follow you, dude. You're going to be my friend. I'm going to tie you up. Mommy dearest.
Wow. You just took that.
I'm kidding.
No, I like it, though. I like it. If that's what it takes to get a tourniquet reunion back together, I'll come help you tie him up.
You'll see all Ted, like, stuck to the drums, you know?
He's like duct taped down.
Play or we're gonna shock you.
That'd be funny.
Oh,
too far.
No, I'm sorry.
Too far.
No, I still love Ted.
I think we all.
If I saw him today, we'd be like, dude, what happened? You know, what happened? But then 20 minutes, an hour later, we'd be friends again, and like we would forget everything. I'm willing to give him money, dude. I'll play psycho surgery over again.
I my new goal with this podcast is to get Tourniquet back together.
That would be awesome.
I don't know about back together to play, but just to talk.
Yeah.
You guys take it from there.
Yeah. We'll get it.
All right, Eric. Eric, I've had you on the phone so long. This is unbelievable, man. I'm so glad we got to make up all this running back and forth time.
I wasn't a flake, dude. I was just like, man, I don't feel like it.
No, dude.
So much anxious stuff. But today I was like, yeah, today is the day.
Today's the day.
That's the story. It's growing.
Dude, you're a creep. You're creeping me out.
No, I'm always like this, bro. There's more stories, believe me.
Oh, I would love it.
Some other time.
Some other time. Eric, chapter two. We'll circle back around in a couple of years or something, see what's going on. After the tourniquet reunion, you and I will talk, and we'll meet, and we'll embrace, and we'll go, dude, we knew it. We knew it. We made this happen.
You know what? I have to lose like maybe like 80, 60 pounds, dude, so I can take my shirt off. Just tourniquet, you know?
You don't look like you're 60 pounds overweight. You would be sick if you lost 60 pounds.
I define clothes that make me look. Look at my, dude. I had abs back then.
Go ahead, lift up your shirt. Let me see.
No, go away.
Let me see.
It's over. Interview's over.
Man boobs.
Oh man, I don't have man boobs. I have like, I'm pregnant, dude.
Let me see your Filipino belly.
Get out of here.
All right, dude. I'll let you go. Thank you so much. God bless you. I love you. You are awesome. You gonna play us out?
As the story grows.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.